Hey, hello, I think hello. Live.
Hello,
and welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. It's that show that brings you, geeky news on a weekly basis. That's weekly, that's geeky, that's geekly. As always, it's me, your host, Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet. And once again, I am joined by my plucky co-hosts. Would you like to tell the people who it is that you are?
Hey, y'all, it's Stephanie, and I'm on vacation, so you will witness a remarkable lack of our fourth co-host, the NYPD, in our audio this week. It's very exciting.
And I still continue to be Eric, and I still continue to be a third host occasionally.
He's going to keep trying this stuff, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. We are continuing. And happy, I think this might be true, happy Bisexual Visibility Month.
Oh yeah, so, it's September.
F in chat for all the rogues out there, but for the rest of us,
we're here,
we're queer, get used to it, right?
Yeah, does anyone else, anyone can make a stealth check.
That's true.
Anyone can, but I feel like it's disadvantage against people, against us.
Yeah, so I just mean, you don't have to be a rogue to be at a disadvantage be a bisexual having disadvantage making a stealth check in September.
Good point. But I don't know if it's worse to have disadvantage on a skill you're bad at or have disadvantage on something that you're already good at. So it's like, oh no, you're ruining the one thing I can do.
I think I would go with it's worse to have disadvantage on something you're already bad at, because there's always a chance that you might roll decently both times. But it's no fun. If you're really good at something, it's no fun to roll, because even with disadvantage, I was listening to Dungeons Daddies last week, and it was with disadvantage, I rolled a 24 and a 22, because I've got plus 9.
Yeah. It's nice.
My brain has not been in D&D mode for a little while now, so.
My brain's always in D&D mode. Because it's, downtime in Dominic. So it's my life.
Okay, yeah. Sure.
That's stupid, right? Well, how you like me now?
Didn't know that's what that stood for, but I'm glad to know now.
Yeah.
Yeah, better than Game of Thrones D&D, right?
Yeah, oof. Anything's better than them. Oh, God. Speaking of, this isn't on our list, but since you mentioned them, they got the, they're going to be producing, writing something. They're involved in a movie adaptation of Cixin Liu's The Three Body Problem, which is Chinese science fiction series that is very intellectual and very complicated and very interesting. And I'm just there wasn't anyone Chinese. There wasn't anyone else. Period. Cool. So that's the bummer to start out, since you brought them up.
I think if they want it to be good, what they should do is hire somebody Chinese during the first, is it a show or a movie?
I'm not sure. I feel like it would be better adapted to a show because it's pretty complicated.
Okay. So what they should do, I think, since they didn't already do this, they should have someone Chinese be involved starting in the middle of the first season or at the beginning of the second, so that by the time D&D get tired of it and become bad at adapting again, there will be somebody who can actually do a good job. Because I don't think they're bad at adapting things, right? Aren't they isn't that what their talent is adapting, not necessarily creating?
I don't know that they have a talent. Personally. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Because they were the backstory of them getting the Game of Thrones job is that they had never been showrunners on anything before.
Yeah,
they were just
I mean, if nothing else, they could just bring in Ridley Scott and have him fill it with androids that have white liquid inside of them.
I mean, that's
what liquid is it? Glue?
Honestly, don't know. I started watching the Ridley Scott science fiction film or science fiction series on HBO called Raised by Wolves, in which there are androids that bleed white liquid. It's disturbing.
White ain't confirmed?
I think so. I feel like that's a mistake that Nintendo and Nickelodeon make.
Like, it looks gross. Like that, like, milk just like comes out of their nose. Like the consistency of
milk, like.
Yes!
Yuck.
I mean, maybe they're milk-powered. Maybe this is a society that, like, really, really just doesn't fuck with black people.
No, they're powered by, no, because one of the androids is black, and, but they're powered by what is supposed to be a power core, but looks like a potato. So, I don't know.
Is it a big potato, or is it small potatoes?
It's hand-sized, because she, one of them reaches into the other ones and pulls it out at one point. It's all very gross.
Why are you doing this to yourself?
It was getting good reviews, and, like, my review of it is, like it's very disturbing, but it is good. It's just, like, it's setting up a lot of plot lines in the ways that, like, I feel like HBO shows do a lot of the time, where there's all of these things that are set up at the beginning, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what does any of this mean? But it doesn't answer it for, like, the first three episodes. Ah, so
cool. Good old HBO.
Mm-hmm.
Like white liquid powering things, not in a dirty way, like was also in Iconoclasts. Like they called it ivory, and they were like mining the earth of it, and like the religious group was like, this is like a very holy, like divine thing, and only those who are, you know, ordained will be able to like use it. But it always like put bad side effects, because it's basically like, hey, what if we injected gasoline into people and it gave them special powers, but also all the downsides of being injected with gasoline except for death?
Like they can catch on fire.
Yeah, like the person who antagonized you the most, Agent Black, like she has like just splitting headaches the whole entire game, and like she's like, I can't deal with anything, I have these splitting headaches and metal arms.
Could it
arms.
Be because you've injected yourself with gasoline?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like her idea. It was like, that's what the group does to people. And she was just seen as like holy enough to go through with it, like when she was a child. So it's kind of like, oh, I just work for like the church and I stop people who are heathens. And, you know, the sinners are, you know, mechanics who mechanic without a permit. It's a weird story, but it's very good. And I really like the story.
Speaking of the religious side of things, religion is also a big part of the plot in Raised by Wolves, and it's like, so the backstory is that the earth is destroyed because of a war between people who are religious and atheists, and it's some of the most ham-fisted writing about atheism, to the point where my roommate looked at me while we were watching and he goes, this is something I would have written when I was a freshman in college. Because like, oh, it's just incredibly like, and like, I think that's part of it, because a lot of that like dialogue is being given to you by an android who like doesn't understand, like, I don't know how to best put it, but like,
the intricacies of belief.
Yeah. Like subtlety, like they don't understand subtlety. Like it's all like, the atheists created these androids, and so they're like, they sent these androids with human embryos to go to another planet to reform humanity with no religion, and have it only be based on science, facts, and technology.
Oh no. Isn't that also like the plot of like Nier Automata to some degree?
Yeah. It's just like some of the dialogue in it, you're just like, man, like, cool, good thing they went and sourced this to like a secular student group in like early like years in college.
Like, yeah, I was gonna say, like, did like the amazing atheist write this? Like,
yeah, it's very bad at points, but the religious group are literal space knights, and that's kind of cool.
Does anybody have a fedora?
No, luckily.
Then
they,
what is the point?
Yeah, I don't know. Dude, like, as I said, there are so many things they set up in that show that it's just like, I don't know where you're going with any of this plot. So.
Awesome.
Yeah. Sorry, didn't mean to go on that one for as long as I did, but.
No, it's okay. Fine. Speaking of knights, I was thinking the other day, I was like, you know, I like to imagine myself as like a bard or something else, but I'm at least multi-classing in Paladin.
You think so? Well, I mean, like, you do
like
have...
social justice warrior, like...
I don't even think like, paladins are social justice warriors, to be completely like, honest.
I'm so, like, pure-hearted about my, like, aggressive union organizing.
I mean, that would probably, like, I don't know if that would fit more like a cavalier or like a...
Or like a cleric,
like
even?
Yeah.
Well, like, paladins go out and, like, put themselves on the line, right? That's kind of their thing.
I mean, you could say that about a cavalier as well, or like a, you know, any sort of thing like that. Like, I always think of paladins as being like holy, like religious based. And I thought you were going to be alluding to being a paladin because of your Catholic upbringing.
Oh, no. A very bad lapsed, maybe at some point during college, but now the very bad lapsed paladin.
I always end up playing paladins and different things. I'm playing a paladin right now in World of Warcraft. It's hard to to be able to identify as one, though, when it's like, ah, yes, religion.
Yeah.
The thing I am not.
Well, to bring Overwatch into it, as always, I feel like Brigitte's kind of the paladin trope. Like, combat-wise, like, she has the shield and, like, a mace flail thing, and, like, she heals by, like, hitting and, you know, has, like, the paladin imagery. But the only religion, I guess, is the religion of teamwork.
And fuck robots. Yes.
That's her dad. I don't think she has any opinions on it. Her dad's the one who's like, fuck robots. Also, I helped make them. But I like my flesh children, not my mechanical ones. It's a whole thing. Wish we had lore for it.
Maybe one day.
Imagine.
Maybe one day. The second one's coming out eventually, so maybe that'll have a story in it.
Look, but, dude, if the World of Warcraft shorts have been coming out or anything to like determine what you're going to get for Overwatch 2, I would not get your hopes up.
Oh, my hopes can't. Like, if bringing my hopes up would still put them below the bar that's the ground.
There's no such thing as hopes. We're just vague positive feelings.
Yeah, most of the lore is just fan fiction at this point, and people just believe it's true. Like, we know it's not, but we believe it. You said you were watching a show on HBO, and that just reminded me, if people watch The Boys on Amazon, season 2 has come out, and it seems like a cool premise. I haven't watched it yet, but it seems to have some good stuff in there about, like, how nationalism goes too far and is bad, and, you know, like, the one character is super, like, patriotic and, like, hey, we have to make America super and stuff like that. Like, oh, that's the bad guy. And it's like, yeah, what would Captain America look like in, like, 2020 if someone's like, ah, yes, I fight for the downtrodden and I'm going to call myself Captain America? Like, I don't know if I would trust that Captain America.
Yes.
And, it seems to be like some superhero, not parody stuff, but kind of in the vein of like, you know, One Punch Man and Hero Academia and just other shows that are like, what if superheroes were real? But like, okay, yeah, we've done the Superhero Registration Act, but now this is a job. There's enough people that want to do this. What does that mean for society? And it's normally not great what it means for society. Like, what if current society, but superpowers? Ah, yes, we'd continue killing each other and being shitty.
Yeah.
Just sometimes people can fly now. Like, oh, yeah, that tracks. But we have some good old topic lists, a list of topics, and I'll bring up one thing that's kind
list.
Of... Yeah, a singular list, yes.
With I will follow topics. Up
from last week. Again, I want to continue to say rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman and Wakanda Forever. I mean, still means a lot to all of us. But obviously, corporate companies are going to corporate, and there is now, like, a Black Panther statue in Fortnite, which which I think is kind of tasteless, but would definitely be tasteless if they weren't currently doing like a Marvel tie-in.
Yeah, like I think it, you know, because they were doing the Marvel tie-in, it makes it at least marginally acceptable.
Less bad.
Yeah,
it kind of puts them in the situation of like, well, this is tasteless if we do it, but it looks kind of weird if we don't too. So yeah. Like, which tasteless do we take? The racist one or the not racist one? It's like, let's catch flack for being this kind of shitty instead. I guess? I don't know. It's where that all this stuff is a thing.
Yeah, because I mean, like, it's one thing, I feel like, if it was, like, a Minecraft thing where, like, a bunch of users were like, we want to build this in memoriam.
Yeah.
But to just kind of be like, haha, we tossed this in there, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's... It's not as gauche as, like, putting in a paid skin or something like that. So I guess they're, like...
That's, like, so corporately believable.
I'm sure there is one, though,
isn't
there? Because, like, there's skins for all the other characters at this point.
Yeah, but I mean, if they would have put one in
now,
because of recent things.
Yeah.
Like, if like, the day before that had happened, if you had to buy one, be like, oh, that's whatever. But then life changes, like, we're not going to do that anymore. Because that would be bad. But yeah, that's just an update on current things that are going on. And we're seeing, like, a lot of people, you know, still mourning, like, his co-stars and directors and colleagues and fans, so this stuff means a lot. But we could talk about, I think, almost everything else on this list is good news. There's, like, one bad news thing. Should we just get that out of the way and then be happy for a while?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay,
yeah,
so...
it'll be a strange and new thing for 2020.
So, unfortunately, more celebrities are contracting COVID-19, which is unfortunate. There's nothing funny about that. The Rock mentioned that he has it, and his wife and some children.
Yeah.
Which, in typical Rock fashion, still looks great, so...
Yep.
But again, it's also The Rock.
The saddest thing about that is he can no longer smell what he is cooking. So,
no!
See, puns are funny. Wow. As long as he looks to be in good health, you know, we don't want anything bad to happen to Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I wish him and his family all the best. That was taken from Twitter, so.
It was good.
Yeah. Just a brief tangent of what might be considered negative news, but I think is more just ridiculous, and it stems from The Rock being, you know, from the WWE. Vince McMahon has recently basically put out a notice to all of the current WWE and former WWE talent that not only does he own their stage names, so like what they use in the ring, but he owns their real names, and they're not allowed to like self-promote like on Twitch and Cameo and TikTok and stuff. Which is like the most batshit insane thing I have ever heard.
I mean, that's about on par with like NCAA players, you know? They have like, which kind of puts it in perspective of how bad that is.
But so here's like the extra bad thing is WWE performers are not employees, they're contractors. And he does that so that he doesn't have to pay for their insurance. So now he owns your name, but won't pay for your insurance. But
it's like, bro, then I'll just change my name to also my name, because
yeah,
like my name is a thing.
And also on top of that, like you, like legally questionable. Like you can't just say I own your name.
I don't think that's how
it works. So
not to be a paladin about it, but I think my guys need to stand together in a certain way.
The reaction from the talent has seemed to be pretty, like, no.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Like, it's not even that Vince McMahon is just not breaking kayfabe. He's just, like, a real-life villain and just happens to also play one in wrestling, but he just is a villain.
And, I mean, the thing is like, you know, hearing that, and that was all, like, a private memo or whatever, that he's all mad that got leaked now, too, which, like, yeah, of course.
Then don't fucking do it, buddy.
Yeah, then don't fucking do it. But, like, also completely unsurprising that a man who is, like, butt buddies with Trump would do that. Like, you know.
Fucking truly, like, I was gonna say, like, that... when you were like, when Vince McMahon put out a memo, and I was like, I really hope that it is a memo like challenging Trump to a cage match. But of course, we can't have that good thing.
Instead, it's this horrible thing for the company. And it's all because like they're trying to rebuild WWE brand because it's been doing very, very poorly, while like AEW has been doing very, very well.
Yeah, because it, like, treats its wrestlers like people, right?
Yes, yeah, they're actually employees. He's doing this under the guise of the need to rebuild the brand, and to rebuild it stronger, they have to all be unified and can't have people out there, you know, doing things on their own. Which, like, dude, like, the reason these people are doing this is because they can't wrestle right now because of COVID. And, like... so people are out on like Cameo and Twitch, like with side hustles.
Yeah. Like, which they've been doing anyway before. Like,
yeah. And
like the new day is like, I'm sure they brought a lot of fans to wrestling. Cause people are like, oh, these three black dudes are super cool. What were they famous for? Oh, they're wrestlers. Let me check out their whole shtick.
Yeah. And I think like that's all like currently now sanctioned by the WWE, like Austin Creed / Xavier Woods doing his like, streaming and stuff and his podcast, like that's all like under the purview of the WWE. So like there's certain things that McMahon's okay with, but there's other ones that he's not. So
scumbag ass Vince McMahon.
Sorry for that tangent, but I couldn't help myself on that.
I mean, we talked about The Rock. It makes sense.
Yeah. You know what? I have a number of ongoing beefs with the English language, but it is dumb to me that when one has sanctions against something, it means that you are, like, boycotting it.
Yeah.
But when you have sanctioned something, it means that you gave it permission.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean English, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting trying to learn another language, and you're like, oh, wow. Like, it's hard for me to learn this because I've never known it before, but this makes a lot more sense than the shit that I do know. Like, the little bit of Korean I know makes far more sense than some of the English I know. I'm like, wait a minute, so you mean to tell me you made rules for your language and then you follow those rules? What a concept. The other unfortunate COVID news, Robert Pattinson of Twilight Batman fame has contracted COVID on the set of Batman after, like, a few days, which... Yeah, of course, that's how these things go.
Yeah, very, like, wish him the best as well, but, like, man, we should probably stop filming movies because this keeps happening.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know, they shouldn't have to feel pressured to put their life on the line to, like, keep their career up. Like, I would imagine Robert Pattinson is doing fine.
Yeah.
I hope so. Monetarily. So, like, I wish there wasn't a situation of, well, if you don't do this, you'll lose the part, and then, like, we'll blacklist you from Hollywood or something like that. So, I wish him well, and I hope he recovers smoothly and quickly. Apparently, also in Hollywood, Tenet had a good Labor Day weekend, or has had a good opening so far, which is
really?
Very
People
bad.
People actually went to see it?
I can't
Yeah, apparently.
That.
So, that sucks, but,
People so very badly want to be able to go back to quote-unquote normal, and will just do whatever in order to do that, but man... I would not be in a movie theater right now.
Oof, yeah.
No, neither would I. I'm glad it was for a movie that, like, I feel like most of the people that went to go see Tenet are people that are, like, that like movies, not necessarily love movies, but just really wanted to go do something. Because, like, if this would have been, like, Endgame or, like, The Rise of Skywalker or something, despite that movie, like, not being necessarily worth going to catch COVID for... We didn't know that at the time. I mean, it was a safe assumption. Plus, no movie is worth that. But, like, if Endgame would have been in theaters during COVID, it would have been like, I mean, if I wear a mask and, like, a bandana over it, I should be fine, right? Like, I think a lot more people would be willing to risk it.
To make the... Yeah.
Which, that's also the end of something that's been building for 10 years. But Tenet is like, okay, like, I didn't know about this shit before COVID even started. So, like, I'll be fine not going to go see it. But, yeah.
What if it was Cats, though?
I mean, that would be... At least they'd have
Cats
an excuse
the
why the movie...
That's the reason we have this.
It opened up the portal.
Yeah, everything was fine in 2020 before Cats.
Papa John said the Day of Reckoning was coming, and we all called him a fool.
He was right. It was just we didn't know what the Day of Reckoning was.
I mean...
honestly, look, and being serious, still don't really know what he meant.
I think this is what he meant. I mean, he had 40 pizzas or whatever, so, like, that lets you see through dimensions.
But only if they're shitty Papa John's pizzas.
He had 40 pizzas in 30 days. That's why he is so sweaty.
Yeah, because he only ate 10 of those pizzas. I don't know what he meant by having the rest of them. Gross, right?
Had his way with those pizzas.
I'm going to pick up... It ain't easy being cheesy. I'm just going to pivot away from all those things you just said.
Talking about Papa John having sex with pizza.
Exactly that. I'm going to pivot away from that.
It's a challenging topic, and nobody's brave enough to talk about it except for us. I can't believe you would pivot us away from it.
Yeah. Well, is it a challenging topic? I feel like it's a fairly assumed. I feel like it's the lowest hanging fruit of Papa John.
I'm just glad he didn't go with Daddy Jonathan.
No, that's the narrator of the Magnus Archives.
Yeah.
You're halfway through a pivot. I'll let you finish the pivot.
I'm gonna take this. I'm not gonna make a 360. I'm gonna make 180 because a 360 would just loop us right back around to Papa John having sex with pizza. And you mentioned Star Wars.
Yeah, I did do that, I guess.
Yeah, what Star Wars character would be most likely to have sex with pizza?
General Hux.
Oh yeah, definitely General Hux.
No contest.
I was the spy, and I spy a pizza.
A pizza pie.
I spy a pizza pie. Yeah, you want to talk about Star Wars adjacent things, Steph?
Yeah, so... This week, the one news item I brought to the table that I was like, ha, I have something. I have been engaging in pop culture. Is that John Boyega did a very open interview with GQ UK about his experience
with working on the Star Wars.
Yeah, being in the Star Wars. That was honestly like very refreshing to read. Like, I was very glad for him that he was able to like get a platform to say what he wanted to, because it's like it's so dangerous, like we were saying, like for anyone to kind of speak up against the like machine of Hollywood, even with like Hollywood's like so-called liberalism and so-called like and like the fact that pretty much everyone in Hollywood is unionized, like it's still like dangerous shit, like
it's still very much an old boys club.
Yeah, to challenge the like the status quo. And so like he did this interview with GQ UK where he basically talked about like how he and Kelly Marie Tran had such a different experience of working on the movies than anyone else did, and that the writers just didn't seem to have any idea what to do with their characters.
Even though they looked like him, like John Boyega's character specifically should have been like
a very straightforward character arc.
Yeah, yeah. And was like featured on so many promotional materials that I was like, ah, he's going to be a Jedi.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Featured on like promotional materials.
Huge bait and switch.
Holding
a fucking lightsaber.
And just kind of talking about, like, how, like, basically racist obviously the fan treatment was racist, but, like, additionally, like, the fact that he had to, like, endure, like, his character being cut down to nothing, because he said, like, in the interview, they knew what to do with Daisy, they knew what to do with Adam, they had no idea what to do with me.
Yeah. Which is... Not to mention, like, there was a lot of discussion of, like, pay discrepancy as well, which I didn't realize, like, all of those new actors for Star Wars got paid shit, like, for the movie.
Yeah, that's really bad. It's... Which is weird, because, like, people... He doesn't have, like, the biggest presence, but, like, people knew who John Boyega was, like...
He was, like, an Oscar... indie darling kind of thing, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, and Oscar Isaac and, Hux. Dom Nall. Something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they were in that...
They were in that Deus Ex,
yeah, like which
or Ex Machina, whichever.
Ex Machina,
two?
Yeah, the one with the robot
Deus Ex,
lady.
Yeah, Deus Ex is a video game, isn't it?
Yes,
that's true. Oh yeah, correction from last week. Deus Ex was not made by Ubisoft; it was made produced by Square Enix. Still, they shouldn't have said Ogg's Live Matter. That was a bad choice.
Yes,
but,
yeah,
wrong company. But yeah, like I don't. The thing that throws me off, like. That kind of lets you know that this had to be some kind of racism or something, is that, like, Finn's character wasn't, like, a hard character to write, I don't think. It was like, he was a stormtrooper, and you see he's like, oh, man, I don't want to do this anymore, and eventually learn to, like, oh, I can't just selfishly run away even though I want to be safe, which, to be fair, the movie makes it out to be, like, a jackass, but, like, very fair thing to do to just want to get away. Like,
you don't
want to
be in
off,
the fucking Galactic War. Yeah, get it.
It's like,
I get it.
I know who Kylo Ren is. I would also run, like, if I thought he could not find me. Like, why are you pressuring me? But, like, then, like, well, we don't know what to do with him. Like, now that he's found out that, you know, to fight for people, what else do we do? Make him a Jedi, make him be a mentor, make him do anything, like...
Yeah, like, have him lead, like, a... Like, it was very obvious to me, personally, from the first movie that he should be, like, going back to kind of, like, rally the stormtroopers to defect and, like, leading a group of them. And, like, they meet a bunch of stormtroopers who defected in Rise of Skywalker, but it's such a minimal part of the storyline that it just feels like such a wasted.
It was so minimal that I didn't even know it happened.
Yeah, it was so little, it's too late. Like, they go meet some ex-stormtroopers, and you're like, why are they, like, what's the point of this whole diversion? Because, like, they didn't really need to go to that planet, but it's like, I feel like the whole planet was basically like, hey, here's a girl, so that, like, stops shipping Finn with Poe. Like, that's yeah. what, that's why she's in that movie.
We put one black person, one other black person in this movie. Like,
hey.
And it's like, wait, but weren't we...
Lando was there. Come on.
Oh, true.
I feel so represented. But,
I mean, like,
no,
bad enough that all these people are shipping Finn and Poe, and then the people who, like, head ships are shipping Finn and Rose. Like...
Which you set up! You set that up!
You literally made them kiss!
Yeah, that was weird, too. It's... So, the thing about him, like, rallying stormtroopers, the thing that makes it even more upsetting that it wasn't, like, paid off, is that that's in a deleted scene in The Last Jedi. Like, there's, like, hints to it, like, when he's fighting Captain Phasma, he's, like, talking shit. He's like, oh, yeah, you don't tell your soldier that, like, you basically sold him out, like, to let them die so you could get away. And they're all like, what the hell? And they just, like, drop their weapons, because, like, what the hell, Captain? So, like, she has to fight Finn, like, by herself. And that explains, like, why the other stormtroopers aren't also helping. Because it's not like they're like, oh, yeah, like, we'll let the Captain handle this traitor. Like, no, they'd all be mad, too, other than he just exposed her. And they're like, yo, we don't really care for you anymore. It's like... why did you take that out of the movie? That put closure to the Captain Phasma story other than her just falling in a hole. Like, come on. Like, I get you have to delete things for time, but, like, there were so many other things in the movie, and...
There were a lot of mistakes in the sequel trilogy, so...
And, like, John pointed out that, he's the only character that people were like, I'm not... Like, they were gonna boycott the movie because, like, oh, a black stormtrooper. And... I know there were people who complained about Rey being the main character, like, before they saw it, but the vitriol that, like, was aimed towards, like, oh, a black stormtrooper, that doesn't make any sense. It's like, I mean, they explain it, but, like, who cares, like, honestly.
Well, also, like, those people who are upset about there being a black stormtrooper, like,
are yo, dude. Geek boys?
Yeah, because, like, yo, dude, like, stormtroopers they're not clone troopers. Like, they were just recruited. Like, they were, like, it was a job, like, you could take. Like, when you're... planet inevitably got, like, you know,
annexed into the Empire.
Yeah, like, you would sign up to be a stormtrooper, like, so fuck off with your stupid gatekeeping bullshit. Like,
yeah
so. And it's like, from an editing perspective and from a storytelling perspective, like, it just doesn't like devoid in the impossible situation that you can divorce any of this from systemic racism and personal racism, it just is bad storytelling to say, like, we're gonna pick three different directors who can write their own story for three different movies that are all supposed to be part of one unified trilogy that is a billion-dollar tentpole. Yeah. Like, you hand them an outline.
Well, JJ did one and three, right?
He did one and three, but Colin Trevorrow, okay, who did the Jurassic World movies, was supposed to do three, and then he was it was so panned, and he did some dumb sexist shit that he got in trouble for, and so they gave it, they were like, well, let's give it back to JJ, people trust JJ. Like,
people only trusted JJ though because they just hated Rian Johnson more, because like, people were dragging the shit out of JJ because, like, oh, he's like a SJW da 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 da, until like Rian Johnson was like, but what if we do something new? Like, no, we want the SJW back, not the actual person who wants to progress stuff. Like,
it's okay, like, oh, cool. We were complaining about fucking Force Awakens just being a New Hope like redux, but when someone gives us a movie that's different, then
we don't,
we're
like
also
that.
Mad about that. Yeah. And like, there are legitimate things to complain about in The Last Jedi. Like, I think
there's
a lot of worthwhile discourse to be had about, like, kind of what was done with Poe's character to make him like the, like, rebellious, like, machismo, like, who, like, the person who doesn't trust Leia or Holdo is, like, the one Latino guy in the cast. Like,
yeah,
and that's kind of what happens when you have, like, tokenism instead of, like, actual representation, because because the reason that Poe's a Latino man is honestly because they're like, hey, let's get some diversity points, but we're also just copying Han Solo, like, he's that one, so you have to be a bit of, like, a flyboy dickhead, but we're not thinking about, like, how that looks, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not thinking about how it looks that the black character is a child soldier, you know what I mean? Like, because, like, oh, well, we've had other things. Like, I thought you guys wanted this. Well, we do, but like...
But when there's only one character.
Yeah, you have to think about the things you're doing. And I think it was Cosmonaut Variety Hour did like some videos on the Star Wars 9 movies, plus more movies. And it's like, the plot of The Last Jedi is such a missed opportunity, because they don't know what to do with Finn. Because, like, what's Finn's arc in the first movie? You know what? I can't just fight for myself. I have to learn about, like, that war is bad and to fight for other people, right?
I have to fight for my friends.
Yeah. And then what's his plot in The Last Jedi? Oh, man, I got to stop running away and learn to fight for my friends. Like, that's the same shit again.
Yeah.
And he was like, he did it why? Twice. He's like, why the hell is Rose explaining to Finn, the child soldier, that war is bad? Like, he already knows this.
That's why he was trying to get away from it.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but like, they're like, it doesn't make sense for him to have to be taught the lesson that war is bad. It should have been, you know, have Finn and Poe on that mission, and Poe's like, yeah, look, like, blowing shit up, and Finn's like, but this is bad, look at these kids over here, they're suffering. And have Rose, like, actually, maybe she's there too, and she gets to actually have some role that makes sense, and then they just erased her from the third movie. Like, you couldn't figure shit out, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. They clearly only knew what to do with Rey and Kylo Ren. Like,
and
everybody
they?
Else was...
Yeah, I really... And, like, it really seem like they were setting up Rey to be, like, Luke's daughter or something. But then just, like, pulling out the no JK, Palpatine was alive and he fucked. And, like...
Well, it's like, also, bro, like, they spent, like...
you clearly weren't planning this. Like, you, like, it's not yeah. even, like, I wonder. It's like, no, you clearly were not planning this.
Like, and also just, like, it, the whole point, like, obviously, like, there's so much wrong with Rise of Skywalker, like, fucking making a child of war heroes, Poe, suddenly be, like, a drug runner, and also...
Why?
Yeah, but, like, the fact that they were like, well, nope, people want this to be fully legacy, so we have to have, so everyone has to be related to someone, like,
yep,
like,
except
so
for
much...
Finn and Rose, like,
yeah, it's like there's so much,
and they are only like that because we wrote ourselves into a corner. Otherwise,
they're only like that because there aren't any people that
yeah,
could
from
be
the original...
related to,
yeah, because otherwise they totally fucking would have.
Well, like, that's why they got stuck. That's why that random girl's hinted to be, like, Lando's daughter. Because, like, well, we need to introduce, like, another black person so Finn could have a romance interest. Oh, shit. But now she needs to be related to somebody because we can't just have a black woman in here for no reason. So she's Lando's daughter, probably. It's like, okay, who's Finn related to? Damn. Well, we had him kiss that girl, so, like, we could pull Luke and Leia again and make them brother and sister. But, like, people won't like that plot twist twice. It's just a mess. Like, Kelly Marie Tran deserved much better. So did John Boyega. Hell, yeah. I mean, honestly, so did Adam Driver and Daisy Ridley. But, like, they're gonna be fine. But, yeah. Like, damn. I don't know. That movie, this shit was a mess. How did they not have a layout?
Yeah, like, because, like, and I can say this as someone, like, I don't work with licensed properties personally, like, but I know people at my company that do, and, like, you have to fucking, like, even when you get, like, a big name author, like there are some, like, I think Hachette has a contract to do, like, YA DC novels, that, like, even when you get, like, a fucking New York Times bestselling author to write a Catwoman book or something, like, they don't, you hand them an outline.
Yeah, you give them, like, you don't give them full creative, overlook, like, overreach
they
on
can,
that.
They can bring their own spin to it and, like, tell a story that only they could tell by, like, bringing the details and shit into it, but, like, they're gonna be told, like, we want a story where Catwoman is in high school and Bruce is, like doesn't go to the same high school as her, or, like, something. There's gonna be fucking some skeleton, and the fact that, like, three random white men were just given the control of a trilogy with no guidance whatsoever.
But they didn't even do it like the Marvel way, where it's like, okay, we're gonna give it to a bunch of white dudes and a black guy, but, like, there's a white dude at the top that's like, but here's how this is going to go. Y'all have some creative control, but here's how this shit's supposed to look.
Like, this is part of a larger thing, and so we want.
So, and here's the thing, though, is, like, you keep saying that, you know, like, there weren't outlines, like, they didn't have outlines for, you know, the sequel trilogy. I would contend that they could have had them if they wanted, because the extended universe existed, and that covered plenty of shit that happened after the original trilogy.
Yeah.
And some of it was really good.
I read so many EU novels in high school.
Yeah, like they were legitimately good. And like the whole like Luke reestablishing the Jedi Order, like Kyle Katarn existing.
Like, did you cosplay him?
Yeah, I really like that cosplay. Yeah, Kyle Katarn's a cool character. Like, that's another story of like an ex-stormtrooper like turned Jedi. Like, it's pretty cool. Like,
and like there were kids and stuff that they could have used.
Yes, like, yeah.
Jaina and, like, and Jason and like
they, yes, they probably would have needed to like rewrite some of them because like Mara Jade was like such a Mary Sue in a very bad way.
Yeah.
But like, you could do that. Like, you could use these established things. But when Disney got control of the Star Wars brand, they were like, the EU is no longer valid, like at all. And it's
like, but why not rip it off then? If you're going to say it's not valid, like, make it valid. Like, that's easy money. I feel like. Like, if you're Disney, you can stomp on copyright, just steal people's shit and make good movies.
If you had made, like, movies out of, like, the Jedi Outcast series and, like, you know, recast or rewrite it as much as you want, but just use that general, like, outline, like, they would have done really well.
The fucking A.C. Crispin Young Han Solo books would have been an incredibly better
like, they had so many different... So many different options for things that already existed, like, within their universe that they just decided...
they already owned the rights to.
Yeah, like, when they bought the rights from LucasArts or whatever, like, they got the rights to the extended universe, and they just chose to be like, nah, fuck that.
Like, yeah, they just clearly didn't have a plan and just said, screw it, how can this fail? And, honestly, the long-term effects of this aren't that bad. If they make another Star Wars movie, it's going to do fine. The brand has not been destroyed. But, like, you really did some shit that you didn't have to do. Like, and made I would it harder like, for, like, Black and Asian people getting cast and stuff for no reason.
Yeah. And I would contend, like, the video game sector, like, they've done way better now. Like,
actually, yeah, besides that one, like, super microtransaction game, they've done pretty well, I think.
Yeah, and they've done a really good job of adapting that. And specifically the, what was the name of the game that came out last year where it was Dark Souls but you're a Jedi?
I can never remember.
Was playing that.
Fallen Order.
Yeah, Jedi Fallen Order. It was fantastic and it told a very, very good story. Like,
it can be done. Like, it's Star Wars. It's easy. It's space and wizards.
You know what's also wild too? Even within the Star Wars universe, like even within the new canon that they've created, like, after they killed the EU, like, they're telling much more inclusive stories than they are in the fucking movies.
Yeah.
Like, they're getting big name authors to write very, like, significantly more progressive and interesting stories than what's being told in the...
Yep.
I know the editor who works on them, and he's a cool dude, but...
And Fallen Order is a great example of that as well, just in the video game sphere. Like, the representation in that was very good, I would personally say. But, you know, I'm a white dude, so I don't really want to, like, say that my opinion is law on that. You know, I'm sure they could have done better, but I thought they did a good job with it, with the characters that they included.
Yeah, I mean, your opinion's not wrong. We all have just different perspectives. But,
yeah,
good old Star Wars... Not so good. But yeah, I mean, good interview. I didn't read all of it. It was just pretty lengthy, but GQ does some good profiles, so
yeah, that stuff's really always pretty fun. Yeah, talking about, like, his, whatchamacallit, just, like, his kind of...
Experience
in Hollywood, and his experience with Black Lives Matter, and...
Yeah, I love how much John Boyega's like, yo, fuck it, like, I need to say this. Like, if bad things happen to me, that's just how it's gonna have to be, because this is important and needs to be said. Yeah, I appreciate
he wasn't
that.
He wasn't even planning on speaking at that rally that he went to.
Yeah,
it's
real good dude.
Truly.
I
think we might end up going over an hour, y'all.
I mean, you know what? You had some stuff to say, and these are some good episodes, so it's good information. It's good discussion, I think. Real quick thing that I don't think will be... I don't have anything to say about it. There's a Shenmue anime coming out.
Hell yeah.
Can someone tell me anything about Shenmue?
Yeah, sure.
There's a vending machine in it.
Yeah. There were gacha machines where you could get little Sonic figures in the first two. The Shenmue is kind of like... It's almost like the proto, like, Yakuza-style game.
I was going to say, you take the bad, like, take the flashy stuff out of Yakuza.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, there was combat in Shenmue, but it was, like, a fighting game-style combat mixed with, you know, like, this adventure game of having to go around and, like, work jobs, like, time passed in the game, and it was a overly ambitious for the time it came out. Like, it was very groundbreaking in a way when it was released, but
yeah, it came out on the Dreamcast, Shenmue 1 and 2.
Two came out on Xbox. Okay. The original Xbox.
Shenmue 1 came out on the Dreamcast, so
yeah. You know, people like will I don't want to say shit on, but there's not a better term for it, but there's a lot of stuff in that, within that game, to kind of like point to and be like, look at how dumb that is. Like, there's a good chunk of Shenmue 1 where in order to progress you need a certain amount of money, and the only way to make money is by driving a forklift. So your in-game days are just spent going and driving a forklift and like lifting boxes, and that's all you do for like multiple days. But it's definitely like that style of like action adventure, like, except not really, kind of like narrative gameplay with all of this focus on like dialogue and stuff, like, would not be the same without Shenmue. That said, that is going to be an incredibly boring show.
I see, are you gonna drive an animated forklift? Like,
it's going, like, unless they like really move that plot along, like, it's going to be stupidly boring.
I mean, did you play Shenmue 3?
I watched a playthrough of it. I did not play it myself because I could not be bothered to do so.
I know the four characters from Shenmue were in Sega Hero, so that's what I know about them. And
yeah,
Ryu's two moves were like running into the other team with a forklift and also like playing Gacha Machine, like, to get a different buff. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I'm just gonna keep using Sonic instead.
and like, that's a kind of a, I don't know, like, the narrative is like laughably overambitious, because like, so the guy who, I don't remember the name of the developer, the writer or whatever, but he's basically said that with Shenmue 3, like, you know, there are still six more games to go. And it's like, oh, yeah, dude, God, those aren't happening.
Like, fucking Winds of Winter shit.
Yeah, like, hey man, like, I hate to break this to you, but like, nobody's gonna green light that.
Wrap it up, B. Sorry. But, you know, it's kind of like some of the old games. Like, without you, we wouldn't be where we're at today.
Yeah.
But, like, also, like, you're going to need to change what you're doing because we don't still need what you did.
Yeah.
We need the innovation, but not necessarily what you did.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need any more Super Mario Brothers 1, but, like, we needed the we needed that game. We don't need it again, though.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, it's interesting that it's being made into an anime, because maybe that way he'll be able to conclude the story in a meaningful way.
Oh, true. But I was going to say, maybe there's another, like, medium in which he can finish that story, because six games isn't going to be a thing.
No. Because I couldn't imagine trying to sit through playing six of those. Or I guess nine total, because it was like the three, I mean, I think he said at least six more in an interview. Like, I could be misremembering, or it could have been mistranslated, but like, you know, it's,
I hope one of those things is true, because six more Shenmue games, like, I don't know if you need nine of anything, that like, of, well, one continuous story without like weird breaks.
And you also have to think, like, how long it took in between Shenmue 3 and 2. Like, the second one came out, what, like the early 2000s?
Well, it came out for the original Xbox, you said, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so then, like, Shenmue 3 came out for like the PS4. Like,
yes, it came out last year.
Like, so there has been some time.
Yeah.
We're in a different world right now. It's just kind of that they needed to put out 3 because people wanted it, but now it's like, well, it's kind of like how Kingdom Hearts 3 was. Like, if you had released it when people wanted it, probably would have blew people's minds and we would have kept on going with it. But you wait so long, and yes, I know that like all the spinoffs kind of count, and Kingdom Hearts 3 is more like Kingdom Hearts 8. But, like, if you just follow Sora around, it's really 3 or 4. It's like, you kind of missed the boat, man. Like, we all grew out of Kingdom Hearts, whether we started playing it as children or adults.
Yeah.
15 years later, like, I don't know, man. Like, it's not cutting it. And it's not a
reboot either. I already bought
either.
One new console for this thing.
Yeah. You guys, when you didn't put it on PS3, you really let a lot of people down. Because I have access to a PS4. I could have got Kingdom Hearts 3, but, like, I don't really care. Like, it's fine.
The only reason I own Kingdom Hearts 3 is because I found it on sale for $10 at one point.
I mean, I would have also bought that too. But yeah. Other stuff that's kind of happening. League of Legends is doing a collab with Air Jordan. I think for Worlds, like, they always collaborate with a brand. I think they had, like, a Louis Vuitton trophy case last year.
Yeah.
That's wild.
So they always do, like, non-endemic, like, you know, they always do, like, pair-ups with non-esports, non-computer things, which is a very cool thing, I think.
Nintendo's doing something similar.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. I'm kind of using this as, like, a segue in a way of sorts, but I really think it's cool when esports are like, hey, we're, like, a thing that exists in the world. So we're not going to act like the only things that exist are video games, you know?
Yeah. We might have poked some fun at Gamer Pants last week, but, you know, it's cool that they branch out in such ways.
What feels weird when companies reach into esports when they're not endemic and they don't get it versus, like, esports reaching out.
Yeah.
Because, like, just from watching Overwatch League, a little bit of Valorant, and just, like, I don't really watch League of Legends, but I, like, see stuff from the people that play it. They're all, like, hype beasts and stuff like that. They love, like, Supreme drops and that kind of shit. And I think I'm a little older than the target demographic for that kind of thing. But I respect it. I get it. And there's people that are sneakerheads. So when it's like, yo, you want this Louis Vuitton trophy case? People are like, hell yeah, that's dope as shit. Like, that's high end stuff. I can flex on people. And like, hey, what about a collaboration with Air Jordan? Like, I don't care if the shoe looks good or not. I buy shoes kind of thing.
Yeah.
Versus when someone's like, well, we're making gamer pants. It's like, do you know what kind of stuff gamers are into? I mean, it's a huge group, but if you wanted to, like, stereotype gamers, do you know what they want? And I don't know if it's this. Maybe it is. Maybe someone worked with them, but that just felt weird compared to, like, oh, yeah, League of Legends working with Jordan. That tracks.
Yeah.
Gamers like shoes.
Gamers also like Mario.
Gamers love Mario. So, yeah.
Have you heard of Mario?
Have you heard of the Mario brother?
Let me introduce you to him.
He's a guy.
It's a me.
It's a me, Mario.
So, yeah, the transition we're making is Mario's 35th anniversary was this year? Next year? It's like nowish? Yeah.
It's current. It's from now until next March is the way that they're billing it.
Yeah. So, we had the year of Luigi a few years back. Now we have the year of Mario. But basically, besides all the stuff we're about to talk about, they're also doing a collaboration with Puma, I think. Is it Puma? Yeah.
There's Puma and then, like, some other, like, clothing brand that I was unfamiliar with.
Yeah. Like, but apparently J. Cole has a shoe, like a basketball shoe, and this is the Puma shoe that is getting the Super Mario Brothers treatment. It looks cool. All right. I mean, if you're into shoes, I think you could do far worse. If I was rolling in money, would I get them? Not rolling in money, but, like, you know, in a good condition, I'd probably pass because they say, like, Super Mario, but there's, like, a tag on the tongue. Mm-hmm. I don't love that, but it's not garish or anything. It's just kind of like, eh. But the shoe itself is, like, a red and blue. It looks pretty cool. It looks better than, like, most of the Sonic shoes we've gotten, but I'm being honest, and you know how much that would pain me to say that.
Yeah. And they could have so easily done a good Sonic shoe, just make them look like Sonic's fucking shoe.
I was going to say, it's so easy.
It's
right there. It's right there. Like, it's right there. It's right there. The Eggman shoe looked better than the Sonic shoe. I don't understand what happened. Yeah. But, there was a Nintendo Direct this Monday. It was a Mario Direct, which... It's a Mario Direct. And they're like, hey, happy 35 years. Here's a whole bunch of shit. And for a Direct, I think it was... The amount of information that was there was pretty packed.
Yeah.
I think it would have served them well to add the last two, like, the Indie Direct, the Partner Direct.
They
would have added it to this, because it would have been, like, a whole hour. And people wouldn't have been dunking on anything, and it would have looked way better, even though all the stuff still looks fine to me. But they announced a lot of Nintendo-type shit in the sense that...
some of it just made no sense.
Some of it made no sense. So, the original Super Mario Brothers All-Stars, which is 1, Western 2, Japanese 2, and 3. Japanese 2 is considered the lost levels. It's basically Mario 1, but a lot harder. So, you know, less fun. They're adding that to, like, the Super Nintendo Virtual Console thing.
Yeah, it's there already. It was same day.
Good. That same day. That's very good. So, you know, if you want to play the classics and understand why I keep dunking on Super Mario Brothers 1.
That's fair.
It's out there, and the Lost Levels kind of refines on that design, but also decides to be a dick about it at the same time. Super Mario Brothers 2 is just Doki Doki Panic, if you ever heard of that. It does not feel like a Mario game. It's really weird.
It's good. A very unique thing, and it's fun. Like, I do recommend playing that.
I super recommend playing it. And that's where, like, the Shy Guys came from. That's where Birdo came from.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of shit that basically Nintendo just took from somebody. And three, which holds up really well. There's nothing really to say about that. It's just a very good game that holds up.
Three is Super Mario World before Super Mario World. So it's pretty good.
Which is pretty cool. And we see that, like, Bowser doesn't just kidnap Peach. He occasionally kidnaps the king, Peach's dad. Which is, okay, like, I don't know why you didn't keep doing this.
The other, like, big thing with, like, Super Mario All-Stars was the 3D collection that they announced.
Yeah, which, I don't know if it got leaked or rumored before.
I think people knew something like that was coming because there were, like, different copyrights being filed. Gotcha. So, you know, not wholly unsurprising. The thing that's surprising about it is that it's a timed release, which means that it's only available for a certain amount of time.
Yeah, so both physical and digital. Yeah. So it's one thing if they're like, hey, it's limited physical. When it's gone, it's gone. But you can still buy digital. Like, no. When, like, March 31st comes, there's not going to be any more way to get this.
Which is just a weird...
That's just bad business.
Yeah, it's very strange. The only thing that I've been able to figure out that they might be doing is, like, you know, so these three games together, which are, because we haven't said it yet, are Super Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, and Mario Galaxy 1, but not 2.
Very strange to omit.
Yes, but the thing that I could see them doing is, so currently that is $60 if you want to buy that collection. I am willing to bet money that on April 1st, 2021, when the game is no longer available for purchase, we will see or get an announcement of each of those three games being available for purchase individually for $30 each. That, basically making them more expensive.
That tracks. I mean, I guess that's less, like, I don't know if that's a harder sell to say, hey, for a limited time, it's a good deal, but after that, it's going to be a bad deal. Like, I don't know if that...
I don't know either, but...
So they just say, you Nintendo. Can't buy it. Yeah, it is Nintendo, and, you know, they're also, like, just HD. They're like HD resolution.
Yeah, they said that they redid some of the controls, probably to make Sunshine not suck so much.
Oh, they did? Okay, I thought they were just straight up just ROMs, but with a higher resolution.
I mean, that is essentially what they're going to be, but with refined controls so that, you know, maybe it doesn't suck to use Flood in Sunshine, you know, the main thing about that game.
Can you imagine doing, like, the super hard missions with Joy-Con drift?
No thanks. It is dumb about how they're doing that artificial scarcity with it. That said, I still totally pre-ordered a physical edition of it.
They're worth getting, like, if you can get them.
I'm a fucking sucker, and that's part of my childhood, like...
But, I mean, I honestly think, like, unironically, Mario 64... Sunshine and Galaxy hold up to this day. I mean,
in different ways, yes.
When I say hold up, I mean if you liked Sunshine at the time or would be just predisposed to like Sunshine, it still holds up. But if you didn't like it before, you probably didn't like it because of any like outdated things. Like everything about that game, it's like it's glitchy or something. It's just some weird decisions in it.
Yeah, and I don't really love Sunshine. It was a different Mario game.
Yeah, but if you appreciated it. Yeah, let's not say liked. If you appreciated it, it holds up. Because I played it recently at a friend's house, like last year. I'm like, this is exactly recently. What I remember. Still don't like it, but, like, it's as good as it was. It's not nostalgia. And same with 64, I think. 64 and, could use a visual update for sure, but I think it holds up gameplay-wise.
Yeah, and, you know, for, like, you know, Stephanie, probably, I don't think you've played any of these games.
Nope.
This is a good deal for you, then. You know, like, it's a good way to play those three games in that series at, you know, people are like, oh, $60 is too expensive. I'm like, it is three games.
Three full-length classic games.
Yeah. So, I would recommend it for maybe people who are somehow, like, still newcomers to the Mario scene.
Yeah.
And
also, as far as games, they also announced that they're re-releasing Super Mario 3D World.
Yes, which is a very, very good game, by the way.
It kind of works the same way New Super Mario Brothers did, where you can play it by yourself or with, like, some friends all on the same screen, like, playing
together.
Except it's
3D platforming rather than 2D.
Yeah, except it's 3D platforming, which makes it harder, and the characters have different run speeds, which makes it dynamic but tricky, and that's also where the cat suits came from.
Yeah.
But they're
also doing an expansion to it as well.
Yes, It's called Bowser's Furry World or something.
It's Bowser's Fury, but people are making jokes that it's Bowser's Furry because of all the cat stuff in that
game. Yeah, I mean, he wears a cat. That's he gets fair. The cat power up later on in the game, right? Like at the end.
Yeah, he uses. You know, that's the final boss as you fight Cat Bowser.
Yeah, like okay, like so people aren't sure what it's going to be. If it's just going to be like more levels, or if it's going to be like an open worldy kind of platforming adventure type thing, which would be cool.
Yeah.
Either way, that game kind of did rip pretty good. Just no one played it because who the fuck had a Wii U?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a game that definitely deserved to be re-released. It's not like your typical 3D Mario platform, but imagine the original ones, but like make them 3D.
Yeah.
So that's good. And along with that, they also announced some Smash Bros. Stuff. I think like some new spirits or like a challenge or something. Whatever. But also another. No, I'm not. What?
You're forgetting
Splatfest?
No, well, I mean, there's that, but then you're
that's
forgetting,
what I'm excited about.
Oh, I'm you're forgetting the most important thing, the Mario Brothers 1 Game & Watch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
which is a thing that they're doing.
Yep. Sure is a thing that's going to exist.
I don't know why anyone... I know people are getting it, and I know why they feel nice about having like the cool piece of plastic with nostalgia, but I haven't heard anybody... say I want that. I've heard people say they're going to buy it, but I haven't heard anybody say like, oh yeah, that's what I want.
Yeah. The only reason I said, because I think you heard me say I want it, but my reason for wanting it is the distinct idea of I'm gonna hack that.
Yeah, well, no. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's not that you wanted Mario on a Game & Watch. It's like, oh, it'd be fun to hack this thing. Like, that's
yeah.
That's
I want it
fair.
Like if it can run Mario 1, chances are it can run some other shit too, and I'm gonna make it do that.
Like Skyrim or Doom.
Yeah, it'll run Doom. It'll probably run other NES games. Like, I mean, I'm curious to see what the actual hardware is inside of it, and it is like a nice looking like. Recreation of a Game & Watch, so like it is a cool little piece of like modern quote-unquote gaming history.
Yeah, so that's the like, reason to get it, like,
yeah,
not for the reasons that they advertised.
No.
But yeah, also like I was alluding to, there's a Splatfest going to happen in January that's Super Mushrooms versus Invincibility Stars, and they're also releasing some shirts to go with it and keychains, so like some nice merch, some fun stuff.
Yeah.
And
also, weird that that's the choice of power-ups for the Splatfest, because it's like, do you want to be bigger or literally invincible?
You would think it'd be like Mushroom versus, like, oh no, like Fire Flower versus Feather.
Yeah, or like something like that, where it's like equivalent power-ups, not like, hey, do you want to literally be unable to die?
Or do you want like one more chance? Like, I don't know why they did that. Like, that's such a weird choice.
Strange,
but... And it's not even, yeah, I don't know, because I'm like, I'm just going to go with Team Marina, and it's like, oh, it's Superstar. I'm like, well, I'm obviously going to go with Team Marina. Like, it's the better power-up.
Yeah.
And then they're selling Mario Kart RC cars.
Yeah.
That have cameras on them. You can drive them around your house with, like, using, like, the Labo cardboard to make a little track.
So, like, as well as, like, other, like, items. It does seem to be a perfect, and, like, it's coming out just in time for the holidays to be, like, the perfect gift for, like, younger children.
Yeah, that's what it's for. It's that's what they're selling it for.
I know my partner is very excited to get it for their daughter. So
that's cool. Nice. Yeah, it makes me excited for stuff like that. That's the kind of thing I saw. I'm like, that's not for me, but it's cool that it exists. And if people want it, I'm glad they can get that.
Yeah.
And they like other stuff with their apps and whatever, like new doctors coming to Dr. Mario and more carts and shit to Mario Kart, so...
I always forget that Dr. Mario exists until I'm reminded of the existence of Dr. Baby Wario.
What is he? You know, he's just not in the public eye because he's busy working on curing COVID.
Yeah.
Dr. Baby Wario.
Yeah, like, and like Dr. Rosalina and Dr. Waluigi look pretty cool. I mean, I wouldn't go to Dr. Waluigi. Like, I mean, I would
only
talk to
trust
him.
Dr. Waluigi.
Well, you know, because he's in it for the medicine. Like, he doesn't gain anything from being there. He's just doing it for the passion. He cares about parties, tennis, soccer, and doctoring.
Maybe this was his true, like...
His true calling.
His true calling the entire time. Like,
that's why he's not in Smash.
I was just going to say, he was too busy to be in Smash.
We haven't seen a Waluigi, like, solo game because, like, it's just Dr. Waluigi. And they already made Dr. Mario. And he's okay being, you know... not in the spotlight because he only cares about medicine.
That's he's a good man. holy shit, Dr. Baby Wario.
Yeah, dude, it exists.
is the final person to be added to Dancing with the Stars this season, aka our final topic. No, Dr. Wario is not going to be there, but they announced earlier this year the host for Dancing with the Stars will be Tyra Banks. Excuse me. Which, you know, cool, different host. It's you're never going to be replaced the host you have just because they've built a brand, but Tyra Banks should be able to do what she needs to do because she's a professional. But that's not why people watch Dancing with the Stars. We watch for the person you've seen before because they're getting very liberal with the term star here. But, you know, they have, like, an athlete, a basketball player, like, different people. The three people that I'm aware of, one of the previous Bachelorettes is going to be on there, which is a big deal for that fandom because she was not allowed to by the show's creator because he didn't want his brand being...
Diluted
by having people like wanting to be on the Bachelor/Bachelorette just for fame, but then that super became a thing and he said fuck it, it doesn't matter anymore, do what you want to do. Then Neve from Catfish, which okay, cool, I like Neve, people like Neve, seems like a fun guy, very trusting man, at least once in his life was, until he got catfished and his brother decided to film it happening. And Carol Baskins from Tiger King.
Yep.
Yeah, really? Did you mention the two people I'm hype about?
Well, unless they're the three people I said, then probably not.
Okay, I wasn't sure, like, I wasn't sure if I had, like, zoned out and missed you reading out, like, the whole list.
No, I didn't read out the whole list. I probably should have done that, but I'm not a journalist.
It's okay, but yes, and Carol Baskin, like, the Tiger King... Like, Paper Mario, Tiger Mario, Paper... I don't know.
Okay, I'll give you that. Sure. Paper Tiger King, the best new game.
Yeah, the Tiger King period of quarantine feels like 100,000 years ago.
Yeah, that was this year. It was like March and April.
That's wild.
Also, like, to... like, not like my sister listens to this, but, like, on her behalf, I will say... that they actually take very good care of their, like, whether or not immaterial of whether or not Carol Baskin murdered her husband, she did. They take they take very good care of the cats at the Big Cat Rescue. My sister's been there.
Oh yeah, like I feel like with that just small tangent, was that the public opinion that she didn't, or just that like she allegedly killed her husband? Because, like, when Joe Exotic was like, she doesn't take care of the cats, and I'm like, I don't know if I believe anything you say, dude. Like,
yeah, I think it was more just, like, because she allegedly killed her husband, we can't trust anything that she does otherwise? I don't know. But anyway,
she takes care of the cats.
My relief... is fairly broad at the fact that no one who can fairly arguably be called a war criminal is participating in this season of Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, that's an upgrade.
Yeah.
No one related to the Palins, Sean Spicer, like none of those. They didn't get Michael Bolton to come on and
I would like Dick Cheney on Dancing with the Stars though.
I'd like Dick Cheney to dance his way to The Hague.
Yeah, that's that was my idea. Is that maybe the stars would take him there, but, you know.
Dancing with the fascists.
Yeah.
It doesn't have quite the ring to it.
No.
But it was also funny.
It's only a matter of time before, like, Richard Spencer or some shit is on there.
Exactly.
Like,
that's
you know.
It's the quote-unquote slippery slope that conservatives are so worried about when it comes to, like, what people do in their bedrooms, but not normalizing fascism.
I wonder how long it's going to take for them to, like, get the... Because, like, Richard Spencer is, like, not... It's not, like... He's clearly a white nationalist, but never said it. Like, he clearly said that that's what he is. Like, so for you to not think that, like... But, like, he said he was this. Like, why do you not believe... Like, why are you arguing this? But he did say something about, like, supporting Biden. So, like, we're step one of, like, the redemption trail. That people are super hype about rehabilitating, like, shitty people. Even when they don't ask you to do it. So that's sad, but yeah. No war criminals this season. Look out for 2023 when Ivanka Trump gets to go on, though. Yeah.
But the people that I'm actually excited about participating are AJ McLean and Johnny Weir. because Adrian McLean's one of the Backstreet Boys. He was like the bad boy Backstreet Boy.
They're back, all right.
They're back. At least he is, and he's on Dancing with the Stars. And Johnny Weir is a former figure skater, now figure skating commentator. I'm pretty sure he probably still skates, just not professionally. But anyway, sure. I'm excited about both of them, both because like both of them are talented at that kind of like dancing slash sports type thing. Like the Backstreet Boys were always like very like they dance heavy performances and
they do their own stunts. They do their own stunts.
Exactly. And figure skating is basically dancing on knives.
On ice.
On ice.
Yeah.
So, I think they have like a little bit of an edge going in, and I think both of them are good and decent people who deserve the best, so.
Yeah, they should do well. I think Neve can do well. I have no basis for that other than he just seems like a fun dude.
Uh-huh.
And the former Bachelorette, Caitlin Bristow, she's like a dancer. Like, that's what she used to do. So she should do all right. And then Carol Baskin will do well because she'll have the meme vote. There's always one person.
Gotta have
so I think it should shape up to be a decent season. I don't know how it's going to look with COVID, but, you know. Yeah, it starts, next week or something.
How do you fucking dance? Is there, a DTWS bubble like there is for sports?
They're doing it like the NBA did. They're having, a bubble where, everyone is just quarantined away from everybody.
I was kind of hoping that they would just maintain social distance during dancing and only be allowed to dance 6 feet apart from each other while wearing masks.
I mean, that's always part of some of the stuff, so you just wouldn't be able to do the ballroom quite as well, so.
Yeah.
I just can't wait to see Carol Baskin in, leopard print dress or whatever, because that would be, a gimmick day, so.
Yeah.
That's an episode, though, right? I think that's everything.
We talked about a lot of shit that we did not mean to talk about, but, you know.
I mean, I like talking with my friends and providing content to the masses.
Yeah.
And thank you to our viewers. We always get a couple, a few each week.
Thanks for coming out.
Yeah. There's a lot of names on this. I don't know how it works because it has one count for viewers, but there's a different amount of people. So thanks to everybody who popped in, whether you stayed, whether you're still here, whether you left, if you're listening to this on Wednesday. We appreciate all the listeners, and thanks for listening.
Wednesday, we don't care about if you listen or not. So,
no, we continue to care.
Release day or bust.
We're not like Nintendo. It's not like a limited release, and then we never talk about it again.
We leave our podcasts up for 31 hours, and then we take them down.
The Nintendo way. But yeah. Last thing I want to talk about, there's a game called Spellbreak. I really want to play it. I haven't downloaded it. I haven't played it yet, but it's basically a battle royale, but you're wizards. It's free to play. It's on the Epic Store and on every console. Looks fun. I'll be playing it after this podcast is over. So, Steph, would you like to tell the people the social media business?
I can. I do. I can. I want to. Let's do this. If you want to find us on the internet, you can find this show at characterreveal.simplecast.fm. You can find it on the podcast catcher of your choice by searching for Character Reveal. If such a catcher has rate and review capabilities, it would be lovely if you did that.
We're at papajohnspizzasex.com.
Yep. You better be Justin McElroying that shit right now.
That's what I was going to say. Don't the McElroys do a thing like that? Or they do
teengoogle.com. Teen Google redirects to still buffering now, which is smart, I guess, but still.
Yes.
But anyway, our podcast, you can find it, you can find us on Facebook at Character Reveal, on Instagram at Character Reveal, on Twitter at Character Rev. You can find me on the internet at HellaSteph on Instagram, at CaptainSteph on Twitter, and at TheSnowQueer on Tumblr. You can find Eric at TindyLosi on Twitter, and you can find Dom anywhere on the internet that he wants to be found, at Brother Dom.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's it.
That's all of it.
That's everything. So,
and if you're listening right now, you can find us on Twitch at twitch.tv/character reveal. Is that how Twitch URLs work?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
But if you're not, if you're listening to this when it drops in your podcast catcher, you can always join us on Sunday evenings at 7:30 when we live stream.
Yeah, Eastern Standard Time. But yeah, listeners, thanks so much for joining us for another episode of Geekly Reveal. Again, we appreciate you. Until next time, see you later.
Bye.
Bye.